We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello and welcome to Minneapolis. I was really loud. I have a lot more energy than I thought I did. I'm Gabe Ibrahim with our Her Hoop Stats team, and they're all going to introduce themselves in just a second. But before we do that, make sure you subscribe and follow us on Twitter at Her Hoop Stats. There's going to be no like bug thing because it's like late here and we're trying to go hang out in the great city of Minneapolis. But everyone, go across, introduce yourself, and start with Megan.
The great cold city of Minneapolis. Yes. Yeah. Hi, everyone. Megan Gower here.
What's up? I'm Calvin Witzel.
Hey, Aaron Barsley here.
So I think the way we're doing this is just we're all going to give a take. So we're just going to give one take, we're all going to talk about it, and we're going to get in and out. We were here today, you guys went to go see all the press conferences, I went to go like see where all the coaches were, and like literally every coach in America is here. So I think we learned some things, I think we all have takes. We're going to start. Let's say, Megan, what's your take? You start us off.
Yeah. So I think one thing we heard a lot about in the press conferences was talking about like the NCAA and the push for equity in the women's tournament. And that, I mean, there's definitely been strides to improve it. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong, but like maybe we're missing the mark a little bit on like what that actually means in terms of like, it doesn't mean that everything has to be the same as the men's tournament. It doesn't just mean that like, there's some pretty March Madness blankets on the hotel room.
Yeah, I was about to say, the pretty March Madness blankets, though, like, that is equity.
Yeah,
we're done.
Not.
We're good. We can stop now.
But it's like, I think Jeff Wells put it perfectly, that it's like, it's not about doing everything the exact same way the men do it. It's about treating the woman fairly compared to the men. Yep. And I think that's a big point. Like, it doesn't have to be the same. I think there's things that probably should be done differently. It's a different tournament. There's things that should be different, but it doesn't all have to be the same.
No, there's different priorities. And, like, you know, Calvin and I were actually, I think it's a good time to bring up our conversation that we were having about Anna Wilson and how, you know, they're going to show Russell Wilson a ton tomorrow's game. And, like, would that, you know, go the other way, right? Of, like, if Anna was at Russell's game, would they show her? And, like, you know, I that's not, like, necessarily the same thing we're talking about, but I do think of it in the same vein of, like, well, do we have to do everything the same, or are we trying to reach different audiences, right? Like, I like Calvin's take on this.
Like, yeah.
Sorry.
So everybody loves Calvin's take.
Yeah, thanks for the setup, Gabe. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, we were talking earlier about, you know, and we're here, so we're not going to see all the halftime shows and pregame mm-hmm. and whatever, but everyone who is, I think what you're going to see is the 101 course, the women's basketball 101 course, and they're going to say things like, well, if you haven't seen Paige Beckers play yet, now's a chance to see someone really good. But really, who among us hasn't seen Paige Beckers play yet? Why do we need to say things like that? Because it's like you said, what audience are you trying to reach? And the audience you're trying to reach with that is people who haven't watched women's basketball, which there's a place for that to bring in new fans and to reach new fans, but there's also a place for people like us who actually know the sport and follow it and have watched these players before, and I don't think there's really very much coverage, at least on a national level, for people like us.
I think that is true, but I guess I'll be the contrarian, so maybe we'll have a good podcast. You know, we often agree a lot. I disagree because if you think about the ratings we saw, which have been great to see on television, you know, most of the audiences for the, I believe, Sweet 16 and Elite Games were on the order of 1 to 2 million people. Last year, I believe 4.1 or so million people watched. So 2 million people have not seen Paige Beckers and are only really tuning in for the Final Four. And I think if you look at, I mean, it's Thursday night tonight. It's been a blur for everybody that covers mm-hmm. women's basketball for the last month. And, you know, I think there is more of the basketball 101 coverage in the men's game, at least on the main broadcast, than you might think. Right. I think there are tons of people. Like, I have personally have friends that are just getting into women's basketball. Like, their big takeaway from the UConn season is they would have won that game at Oregon if Oregon didn't have such a crazy court, right? I mean, they're just coming at it from such a different angle than us. I think we sometimes lose sight of the fact that we're so immersed in it, and so it is cool to get. We definitely don't get quite as many cool breakdowns. I forget who does some amazing NFL film stuff. It's like one wide receiver and one defensive back on ESPN, mm-hmm. and they do these amazing like 3 minute breakdowns. It is exactly the kind of content you want. We don't get a ton of that, but I feel like they do give us some during the game. Again, we're not going to see it this weekend, and but I think so much of the audience, especially when the audience is growing, is they haven't really seen a ton of them. So you know. Maybe I'm an apologist. Maybe I'm sort of thinking about everything we do at Her Hoop Stats. And, you know, I think that, you know, we're very fortunate. A lot of people that follow, part of the reason you're all part of the team is because you follow closely enough that you found us. But so many people in the world have not found us. And I think it's the same amazing. And maybe they've now heard of Paige Beckers. They might have even heard more about Sonona Prince based on last mm-hmm. year and how she blew up than Paige Beckers, frankly. And they might not have ever seen her play.
Well, yeah. Like, sorry, if I could just jump in, like, you're right, like, there are a lot of people who haven't seen Paige Beckers, and there's definitely, like, a need for that one-on-one coverage. Like, I don't think that should be eliminated, but I think part of growing the game is adding on to that also the 201 and the 301.
Yes,
and so we have
I'm with you.
All of them, because I think right now it's almost exclusively one-on-one coverage when you're talking about national media.
And I was trying to say that, so hopefully that came through, but, like, one of the things that I thought was most about the thing I've covered that I like the most was, I'm probably the only one that watched the Field of 136 coverage show that they did on Selection Sunday. It was like 10 o'clock. Yeah. And I forget who was on, but it was great. And they talked about the women, they talked about the men, and it was basketball 101. But it was equal. I mean, it really literally was for both. They really did treat them the same way.
Yeah, I think we get lost a lot on, like, coverage of the women's game. I'm like, oh, they only focus on, like, this one, two storylines. But I think that's how...
UConn.
Yeah, okay. Yes, UConn, yes. I was trying to make it not about UConn. But I mean, well, part of it hasn't been UConn all season.
There have been other
storylines this season. But I think that's how basketball is covered at that level in general. Like, if you think about the men's tournament, right, the storylines have been the Peacocks and... Yeah. The fact that Carolina and Duke might play in the Final Four.
And I also think that I know I'm talking a lot, but, like, the women's game has adapted to more than UConn, right? How much coverage does South Carolina men's basketball team get? Not a lot. South Carolina is getting a ton, just like UConn now. Same for Iowa, right? I mean, and Iowa had an amazing team last year, right, with Luka Garza, I think, was the National Player of the Year on the men's side, and I think they had probably the runner-up for Naismith on both the men and the women this year. And, you know, the point is, like, ESPN hasn't ignored it all. You know, ESPN has found those, and they'll move, you know, they're covering Stanford. Yeah. I think what it is, like, South Carolina is so dominant, it feels like they're in the UConn world now.
So to bring it, like, back to Megan's point, though, is, like, I think it kind of all plays into it. Like, we're doing basketball 101 a lot more, I think, in basketball 101 a lot more in the coverage. But we're also doing it when we talk about equality. Like, okay, we're only thinking about it as, like, is everything the same for the men and women? If everything's not the same, it's step back. Or, like, oh, the women's tournament should be way different. It's like, no, like, the real answer here is, like, it should be tailored to treating the women like they are the same level of athlete because they are, right? So, like, that's what we have to realize. It's not just, like, we're not just going to find benchmarks of, like, oh, you know, we have now both teams have suites in the hotels or, like, whatever. Like, the gift bags are the same. Like, that stuff's good markers, but I'd much rather it be equal in terms of, like, this is this is tailored to the men's experience and this is tailored to the women's experience. So I think it kind of all plays into that same equity discussion of, like, are we trying to, like, who's being appeased here? Like, who is being targeted with whatever the policies are for the NCAA or in media? Is, like, are we trying to get after lowest common denominator, or are we trying to get after the best answer for the people involved? And I don't know. I think they're doing a decent job, I'd say.
Right, and I think it's, like, it's not really about the swag bags. Like, yes, that's what captured, like, all the attention, but, like, no one, like, I mean, Jeff Walsh said, no one cares about the gym. Like, it's, that was only because they were in a bubble. Like, no one's asking for a weight room here, like, this year. And, I mean, the swag bags, obviously, just, it's, like, yes,
it's
they
nice.
Should be equal, they should be nice, but, like, it doesn't actually matter. Right. It's about, like, having access to the investment in the tournament, the access to resources, the investment broader beyond the tournament, like investing in women's programs, period, at an even basis, and enforcing that as well.
And Gina brought up the point, too, with the swag bags and all that stuff, that,
yeah.
like, that stuff's cool or whatever, but that doesn't help them win or prepare to play the game. And he brought up how, you know, the women's Elite Eight ends on Monday,
Final Four
starts on Friday.
Right.
They turn around, get home, you know, late Monday night, and then turn around 24 hours, fly out here. Where the men,
and he was in Connecticut the whole time, right? Think
right.
about Stanford. I forget what day that was, but you know what I'm saying, right? Some people had to travel out of the state.
Yeah, South Carolina had to go to North Carolina.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah,
it's all a blur.
And I think that's a huge part of it.
Yeah, I think so.
That's a huge part of it, and just like you know, having to work around, not that work around, but like you know. Having to work with the men's schedule is interesting because I feel like they've done it in a couple different ways this year, right? Of like, oh, we had, I think the Sweet 16, right, was the day that the Miami men played in the Sweet 16. Those games were in the morning, afternoon.
Yeah, they do a good job scheduling around it.
I thought it was good then, and then here we put the women at a disadvantage, though. It's like, well, why didn't we just put those games in the afternoon on Saturday? I don't know if that works.
Oh, no, I'm happy. I think it makes a lot of sense the way it is. I mean, I think given that there are lots of big decisions, I've heard some very interesting suggestions, right? Like one, because we've also talked about, and again, contrarian, like I can't quite decide if I love using March Madness or whether I would love to figure out a way, and I don't know how we would do it, so it's probably not realistic, and smarter people than I like the March Madness, but could we come up with our own equally well-known phrase that really just means the women's tournament? And I don't even think I should say my horrible ideas.
No.
But,
absolutely not.
Podcast comes to a screeching halt.
but the point is, it would be really nice because right now the reality is like it's cool that they're both using it. But if you go Google, if everybody listening, and I'm sure you're also on your computers too, and go Google March Madness, like you're gonna get all kinds of men's content, and like
I mean,
that's
the same
not
thing
surprising.
Happens if you Google like. Miami basketball, you're going to get the men's team.
Exactly.
It doesn't even matter that, like, I only ever look for women's basketball stuff, and when I go Google Miami basketball right now,
true.
It's still going to give me the men's team.
You can even type in Miami women's basketball, and sometimes it autocorrects to Miami men's.
That is true. You know I had other points, too, and I've forgotten them, so I'm going to remember them in a minute, so I'll get back to that. What were we talking about?
I like that they alternate the Final Four games, but, like, it used to be until 5 years ago, the 1 point Sunday, Tuesday. Why not just go back to that? Then they have the same amount of time between games.
So, the other So, one other thing I heard, which was fascinating, I don't really know that I think about it because I think it's a good idea but the idea would be, like, maybe we should start the tournament essentially this weekend so that we're not competing against the men.
I don't think you should adjust your schedule for it.
You can say that, but all kinds of sports do all kinds of adjusting in general, particularly around the NFL. So, I am less averse to that myself. I have some contrarian takes, perhaps in general, because, you know, I'm totally realist. Like, it's really
more contrarian, as
Thank
you to the Elliott Park Marriott for providing us with free
but
beer.
We're clearly not yet. Yeah. But it's true, we're clearly not there yet in terms of equity, equality, I don't know what is. It'll be interesting. Like, how will we ever know that we are, right? Like, does it we have to get exactly the same TV ratings? Do we just need to get close to the TV ratings? General thought applies to the WNBA as well, right? Like, it does not need to be exactly as big as the NBA, right? We need to invest in it and grow it as much as we can, and like, there's plenty of opportunities to do that, right? But I'm excited for like WNBA essentially being a freestanding business, the seed thing that they did was very helpful. And I think there's been a lot of talk, right, bidding out the contract for the women's tournament separately, and then suddenly there's people at the NCAA whose job is to make as much money off of women's basketball as possible. And guess what's going to happen? Those people are going to be incredibly motivated to get as much money as possible out of women's basketball. Chantel Jennings had that great article talking about stuff, and one of the things they said was having different, I think it was her, having different tiers of sponsorship. Right now there's no way to sponsor the women's tournament without sponsoring the men's, because it's all through the CBS contract. And so, like, all of those kinds of things. So we can just manage the business. It's not going to make as much, you know, WNBA at that point is not going to make as much as the NBA. But that's fine. They're trying to grow it. You know, they're not going to be having the $1 million salary or the zillions of $1 million salaries. But it's all good.
No, so by the way, this is the podcast by now. If you saw me, like, looking at the screen, if you're on YouTube, I was trying to see the time here on OBS because I was trying to figure it out. So this is just going to be the podcast we're just talking about. It's everyone else's takes. Sorry.
Great.
You won't get takes.
This is the only. I'm sorry. That's
the only take. This is the only take. Everyone has
let's have a parting shot.
Everyone had their own. Everyone had too many takes on this one take. Therefore, we have no more takes.
Isn't this your whole idea? This I'm is out your design.
This is my design, but I've abandoned it. I see. I'm a. That's why I'm a. I think I, you know. You have to be adjustable, right? It's March. Right, you have to be ready to change what you're doing.
It's a great halftime adjustment game.
Sometimes you have to go over the screen, Westmore. I'm sorry, Wes. I'm kidding.
We gotta talk some National Basketball.
Yeah, we can talk
more positive things. I'm not gonna let us have a podcast for all of
equity is important, and we are moving in the right direction. And I think the day that we will know that it is here is the day that we don't feel the need to bring it up, right? Hopefully.
Maybe that's the standard.
But maybe that, whatever. We all think, right? Yeah. The women's game is in a great place. And like Dawn said today, like, now is the time to invest in women's basketball. Obviously, we all feel like that because we're all doing it.
Yeah, we're investing our time.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's turn around. I'm going to ask you what your hot take is. Oh. That's going to force us, because you want to talk, to still talk.
More
about other takes.
So my hot take is actually a cold take that you should bring a coat to Minneapolis.
It's a literally cold take.
It's a take about cold, because it is real cold here. It's like 37 degrees, and I forgot my coat at my house.
As did I. Would say you're not alone.
Yeah, nice.
Left table.
I was feeling that was like
left side.
Number one priority when I was packing was like coat.
Yeah,
that's because you live further north than us in Connecticut.
But like, you knew you were coming to Minnesota.
It's April. I also knew it was April.
It was 4 a.m.
I'll accept that as an excuse.
I was making sure I made it to my airport plane as well.
Yeah,
It was a rush. I had planned for it Monday and Tuesday.
Everyone gets to fly out of Bradley. Yeah, like Aaron, I do the world's easiest airport experience.
Yeah, Aaron has kids, so I think you become like when you're a parent, like you're just way more like your kid would never forget their coat.
Let's be honest. Really, what it is usually when I travel, it's like the whole family, including my wife, and she's much better about.
Okay, this is really my hot take: is that no married man should be allowed to travel without their wives, because it is impossible for me to figure out what to do at any time of the day.
That's not my take.
This is my take. I can't like function. I'm gonna send this to my wife, by the way. But like, I can't like function. I don't forget my coat. Like, I'm just like walking around aimlessly in Minnesota, getting lost. I have fun. I have a great time, but I have no idea what's happening. Yeah. Maybe it's just I'm an idiot. That could also be. So that's my take.
Cool. Calvin, do you have a basketball take? Because we're a little non-basketball. I feel like we should have basketball takes on this briefly. Are you changing your assessment of any of the teams based on the press conferences?
No. Well, because the press conferences didn't talk about basketball. They talked about this stuff. So nothing about the press conferences changed anything that I think about what's going to happen on the court.
What's the one thing that you're sure is going to happen on the court?
I am sure that every post player in UConn-Stanford is going to foul out. On both sides.
Fair. The Spider-Man pointing meme of Olivia Nelson-Adota's foul rate and Cameron Brink's foul rate.
And Leah Edwards' foul rate.
You're a betting guy. Let's make an over-under. Which big is going to have the most minutes in that game, Stanford-UConn?
Leah Edwards.
Leah Edwards? Okay.
If you're a UConn fan, I think that's what you hope for, honestly.
Yeah, no, I mean...
I mean, I think they're in trouble without either, but I think little Leah does. It's just a little bit different.
Brink has been a little bit better. A little bit. Like, she got one bad call against Texas. If not, she would have had three fouls. So...
That's a fair point.
It's a little. It's just getting a little better. I'll go with Brink on my question.
I was gonna say Brink too. And are we gonna put in a moment of around? It's frustrating when they take the player out with two fouls in the first quarter. Although I would say maybe with Cameron Brink, it's not a bad idea.
Yeah, it depends.
I don't know. Like in a game like
that, you're guarding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I think sometimes, yes, but, like, when you know that you're going to be in a close game, do you want to risk not being able to have Cameron Brink on the floor when the game's, yeah. like, 65 to 68 in the last minute yeah. or something? I don't know. I think I would take that risk.
It depends if you can trust them to not pick up the third.
Yeah.
We're not there yet with Brink.
I would say no.
No. No offense.
She loves to foul.
Yeah.
That's, like, one of her favorite activities is fouling.
I'm just kidding. Picks up her second foul?
Like, yeah. Like, I thought if, like, if one of UConn's guards picked up their second in the first, that would leave her on. They know how to play through it.
I just think she's going to play a little cleaner. Brink is. And she's been crushing it, so, like, I'm with
third
it.
Quarter, right?
It's all going to depend on, like, who's officiating and how it's officiated, too. Like, that's going to be a big thing.
Is UConn getting the Bridgeport whistle again? We can talk about that.
I don't remember
Bridgeport. It was the same ref that did the UCF game that did NC State game. So I'm hoping they're not coming.
Olivia Nelson-Odoto, who had seven fouls against.
Okay. Yeah. I think there were bad calls on both ends.
I'm not saying, but she did have. She picked up her seventh foul in the first overtime. Lucky for her, they didn't call it. So hopefully it's a well called game. I'm assuming in a well officiated game.
We are talking about women's basketball.
I think Brink could withstand it. I hope.
Gotcha. So I'm gonna have a closing thought maybe, but so who do you got in the Stanford UConn game, Kel?
Stanford.
What?
Megan?
Going Stanford.
Look at that. Oh, clip it.
Get in her mentions. South Carolina Twitter needs to acknowledge.
Yeah,
right?
Really.
Megan, I think the least unbiased.
I'm going to now anger South Carolina by saying I think whoever wins UConn Stanford is going to win the national championship.
Do you? Oh, really? That's not true. Where are you on Stanford UConn?
I'll go with Stanford. I believe they are, what, they're 1-point favorite, right?
We have a 2. I don't know what the betting is.
I think
is.
One, one and a half, depending on the book.
I think I'll take Stanford to win and to cover.
Listen to you. Like you're actually betting money on it.
I give my friends advice.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. I've been on a heater. If I tell people, like, right, Land, now this one's not going to happen, right? Like, there's no way Stanford covers after I say that.
Especially because we all three pick them. It's like you're watching NFL Live. Every time they pick the same game,
I know.
It happens the other way.
I was going to say Stanford, but now I feel like I should pick
you. Have to pick
you. And my talking point is that Paige Beckers has gotten miraculously healthier in the, 3 days pregame. And is going
to
look
good. Well, I mean, it's not miraculously healthier. Look what she did to NC State.
That's what we're saying.
Like, what I thought was really interesting, like, I mean, Becker's right. You agree, and you know better than any of the four of us, I think, right? She's not 100%,
no,
right?
No, but Paige Becker's at 90% is still better
and
than most players in the country.
Because she's so good and so, like, she's so calm that she can hit those kind of tough shots without being, like, signature moment crazy plays that, you know, we were used to, I guess, more from last year. So that would be my argument. Becker's gonna set a record for Final Four scoring. No, I don't know. And it's not gonna be a high scoring game.
She got, like, miraculously healthier between the, like, 5 minute mark of the fourth quarter and the
exactly.
2 minute
yes.
mark of the fourth quarter, and then
exactly.
she went on, she scored 17 points.
Yeah.
So I think it's not impossible.
No.
She's like even yeah. she's gained superhuman strength at this point. Between the NC State game and
that. Going to be in the next Marvel.
We all picked Stanford. I'll go with, I think the path for UConn to win, at least if we want to do that, is, like, turn Stanford over.
Yeah.
Like, 20 turnovers against Texas. UConn's going to have more offense to respond to that than Texas did. That was a close game.
Yeah.
If they could turn them over 20 times, UConn could win that game.
One of my favorite stats that our newsletter reader has got mm-hmm. today is that this year and last in the tournament, there have been 4 games won by a team that has lost the turnover battle by, I think, 10 or more. And Stanford has won 3 of them. The championship
wow.
against Arizona last year, 2 this.
Wow.
So, and, like, of everyone, aside, I forget the other one's Utah, Arkansas. So I guess, was that I forget who won the game. But beyond those 4 games, I believe, the next up is, like, 3, right? There was, like, no one who's in the middle there. So it's, like, remarkable how they're able to overcome that.
Yeah.
So it could turn
out
that you're right.
I don't know
right,
that overcome that against UConn. UConn only had 8 turnovers in a double overtime game against NC State.
Well, and UConn, like, of the teams that are left, the one that should hypothetically be the most prepared for Stanford is UConn, because they also run a lot of the
Gino said he did not like that today. He's like, I'd rather play someone that's totally different.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Practiced against it all the time or something, so they're totally familiar.
And then a wrinkle like tosses you out.
I guess that's true.
Aaron, give us a take on South Carolina and Louisville.
Well, my biggest take is that I would like to know what Aaliyah Boston's mantle looks like at home. Like, how much is away? Did she reinforce it? She got so much hardware.
She needs a new one
this week. I'm hoping she's going to send out a picture.
It's a room.
It's a trophy room.
So, I mean, to me, Aaliyah Boston's going to be amazing. You know, are we going to see a 80-point game out of South Carolina? Or what was it, a 49?
Louisville has a really good defense. If they score 80 points, I don't know what went wrong.
Yeah, exactly. And so, like, I mean, I think as a result, they're going to keep it close. I think that Louisville's won so many games, kind of. I mean, I said it about NC State, and it turned out to be wrong, although it was, like, an overtime situation. So can Louisville hang around? You know, Haley Manlith hit some clutch shots, and I mean, ultimately, I think our model favors them by 6, and it's, like, hard to imagine them losing, but they lost 2 games this season, so they certainly could. I think everybody talks like they're a juggernaut, and they don't realize that there are many, many outcomes, many, many, you know, multiverses where they lose.
The blueprint is there. The blueprint is there. Thank you to the Miami Hurricanes. I know not every team is as good defensively as the Miami Hurricanes, or as gritty or as tough. But there's the blueprint, right? Like, you leave the shooters, you hope it works out. For UNC, that didn't really work out because South Carolina hit their threes early. So that's like, I brought this up on the last podcast. Like, it's going to be really, we're going to know in the first 5 minutes whether this, how the offense is going to have to work for South Carolina. And it's just a matter of, like, can Louisville hit enough shots? But I don't know. Obviously, I'm going to go with South Carolina. But I see there is the path for Louisville to win.
Agreed.
I think, like, you know, I keep thinking about Liz Dixon because she's big enough to hang with these bigs for South Carolina. She hasn't played. I'm not sure how much she played. She didn't play that much against them.
I don't think so.
In the Elite Eight. I don't think she's played that much in this tournament so far. But she's had big moments in the past for this team. And she certainly is capable. So if she's going to need to be out there because certainly, like, Olivia Cochran's going to get in foul trouble. Mm-hmm. Emily Anksler's going to get in foul trouble. That's just what happens when you play South Carolina. But if she can, you know, hold up in her minutes, I think they have a pretty good chance. And then let's just be make or miss. Like, who's better, Destiny Henderson or Haley VanLith? Right? Who's better, Zach or Chelsea Hall? I mean, not better. You know what I'm saying? Like, better in this game.
Yeah.
What is it? At Gabe Ibrahim.
At Gabe Ibrahim.
I was like, you're right.
South Carolina fans know that. Yeah. Know the at. I hear from them.
I am also going to pick South Carolina in this, but I don't think Aaliyah Boston can beat Louisville by herself. And if South Carolina's guards do not make, like, if Zion Cook and Destiny Henderson don't score an offense and not just score, but they can't go, like, 5 for 20 combined, because that happens fairly regularly with the South Carolina team. They have to be better than that to win this game.
So you're all picking South Carolina.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Right. You're last.
Gamecock Twitter. Going with Louisville. All
right.
Asking for trouble.
Would you cash app?
yeah, drop the cash app. Request. Yeah. Request.
Well, you brought up the defensive, you know, the blueprint and everything. And I think, number one, Jeff Walls is as good as anyone at coming up with those defensive blueprints. And his game planning is just, like, next level. And number two, like, when you look at it, obviously a lot of teams have tried this blueprint and failed. When you look at the last game against Creighton, they left shooters with miles of space. And it didn't matter because Creighton's full of 6 foot flat people and South Carolina's full of 6 foot five people. Yeah. And so they could just get the ball
Creighton,
inside.
We love you.
Tatum
Rambal, we love you. But yes, continue.
Morgan Molly.
Louisville has the personnel, though, to do it. They have the talent. Because it doesn't matter how good your game plan is if you're not big enough and talented enough. Sorry, Creighton. But Louisville has the personnel and the talent to do it if the game plan is good enough. And like you said, like Haley VanLith, she's scored 20 points in every tournament game.
Mm-hmm.
She's on one right now. If she shows up like that, like, I think Louisville can win this game.
Anksler's going to have to have some shots, too. Mm-hmm. She's going to have to make some shots. And she's done it sporadically, and she's capable of it. But she's going to have to hit some shots.
Or some steals. She's been setting records.
But if you know, when South Carolina can just, like, pin their it's not, I know it's a football term, but like pin their ears back and essentially just like fly around on defense and look for blocks and get rebounds. Like, you need that spacing, and if she's not, they're not gonna, I think they're gonna come out and like not respect her, so they can get Saxton or whoever is her assignment just closer to the rim. So if they, if she hits some shots, especially early, I think that'll really open it up for Louisville.
I think you're right. I think that one thing people forget, one thing that I like, the four teams in the Final Four this year are like number 1, 2, 4, and 5 in our hoop stats rating. Mm-hmm. We sort of talk about Louisville, and they haven't quite been in the class of the other, really, NC State, I would actually say Stanford and South Carolina all season. But like, we forget, they've been right up there all season. Mm-hmm. They're a one seed for a reason. And the gap, you know, when you get to this level, like, the gap is just not that much. It's talented, you know, South Carolina favored by far, but it's still quite possible, which is why we're excited to watch.
Yes.
And you can't, you can't knock a team like Louisville for losing to a team like Miami, you know? It's just when you play these really great teams. That's right, baby. Two Miami mentions on the Final Four podcast. Nice. I had to get him in. Nice. No, yeah, I think it's gonna be a great game. I think both games are gonna be awesome.
Yeah.
Jeff Walls reminded us today that now that we have equity, apparently, in the tournaments, that both sides, men's and women's, have four in the Final Four. Yeah. So the women's side also has a fourth team in Louisville. He made sure to let us know.
I think we might have more than equity in terms of quotable coaches. I'm not sure. I've been monitoring the men's coach, but I mean, Jeff Walls is unbelievable. Yeah. His quote today about how, what was the exact way it went? It was something about, you know, people think the grass is always greener when he's talking about the transfer portal, but it's because it's fertilized with Bolt.
Yeah.
I guess maybe that's a line he uses regularly. It was the first time I'd heard it. It's hilarious, I thought.
Which is really funny, too, because, like, a big player on his team is a transfer from Syracuse. But we digress. We digress. Because I think the games are going to be great, and I think that'll do it for us.
Well, I want to leave my hot take.
No, would you not do your hot take?
No, my hot take is that I was going to say at the beginning, it is how amazing it is to be here together with people. It's great to be with the four of you as well, the rest of the Her Hoop Stats team, but also just great to be walking around Minneapolis, seeing people in like the media workroom, the coaches. Her Hoop Stats, we covered the Columbus in 2018 and Tampa 2019 Final Four. Did not, obviously, there was no 2020. And while there was, you know, the rules were kind of funky, and so none of us covered in person 2021. So it just feels like kind of being back in the world. It's just so great to see not just the folks on our team, people that I've never actually seen in 3D. Yes.
Yes.
Right. But, you know, also all of our friends across the women's basketball community, you know, all the great work happening, Just Women's Sports, The Athletic, The Next, the, you know, you name it. There's so many more. I apologize that I'm going to bore everybody. We've gone way long anyhow. But it's just been really great to see everyone in person. For me, at least, it just feels like, hey, you know, the world's not really back to normal, but it's just great to be a part of it.
To recap, your hot take is interacting with other humans is good.
Did you say hot take or take?
It's just a take. It's just a take.
That's my take. That's my biggest takeaway from the whole weekend. It's just how great it is to be in a place with everybody.
Wait, is take short for takeaway? Is that what that comes from?
Oh my gosh.
I just cracked the code. Right?
Why don't you ask your wife?
I know. Yeah. It was like when I found out scram and like with the defensive scram, it actually means scramble. I never knew that. I'm just like, wait. Maybe we just figured it out. I'll ask Emily. She has all the answers. And my code. Because I'm going to be very cold tonight. All right, guys. I think that does it for us, the Her Hoop Stats team here in Minnesota. We will be bringing you a lot more content as the weekend progresses, so we will be back tomorrow night after the games to recap everything that happened. So keep it locked right here on Her Hoop Stats on the YouTube channel, on Twitter, on Instagram, anywhere you can find us. Just like Google it. Bye.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.